Bless the Lord for the day He came to where I was in my sin, and He changed me forever. Amen. And I'm thankful for it. Appreciate the opportunity to stand and preach tonight. And I'm thankful for this place. This place is special to me and my family. And the Lord's allowed us to mend here. And I'm thankful for it. I appreciate you good people loving us, and taking us in and caring for us, and being so good to us. Appreciate you praying for us. God's been good to us. I preached this morning, one young lady sitting back about the back side of the house, right in the middle section, I came and gave her heart to God. And I bless the Lord for that. God's been good to us. He's opened doors for us. The church we preached in this morning took us on for monthly support, and I thank God for it. And appreciate God taking care of us. Got your Bibles? I invite you to go with us to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. If you're able, I'll invite you to stand. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. 'Well, I like to hear those pages rustle. Makes the devil nervous, amen. Anytime you get that King James Bible out and go to rustling those pages, it makes the devil nervous. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full." So when she went from him, she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd honor your promise and you'd be faithful to your promise and honor your word, God. And Lord, we realize we stand in a place where the arm of the flesh can and has and will fail. But God, if you'd unctionize us and you'd help us, there can be some help from these verses tonight. I pray, God, for liberty in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you'd help us open our heart to your word and your word to our hearts, and we'll give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, the text that's before us, the text that we read, is a very familiar text, and any preacher who's preached any length of time no doubt has preached from these verses. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've read these verses, know this story. One of the miracles of Elisha. And it's intriguing to me, the things that take place. And when God sheds a little light on His Word, isn't it amazing the things that just unfold before us? We're reading in a text tonight, in a place, in a day where this widow, this lady who's been left of her husband, cannot do business for herself. I mean, daddy's dead and left a debt, and she can't work. She is the ward of her husband in this day, and she can't do anything about it. I mean, she's in a mess, and there's nothing she can do about it. That sounds about like where we were when God came by. We was in a mess and couldn't do anything about it. Amen. Oh, but bless His name, I'm glad the Word of God and the man of God and God is the Holy Ghost gave us a way out. Amen. Aren't you glad we don't have to stay in a mess? Thank God. Oh, but in our text here, there's something that I noticed, and I want to point it out to you. Look at verse number 2 with me. Let's notice there, Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" That's a question mark right there. Tell me, what hast thou in the house? There's another question mark. The man of God asked two questions. But look what happens here. This widow woman says, and she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." She answered the second question, but the first one was left unanswered. She didn't have an answer for it, Brother Mike. I mean, she didn't know what to say. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And she didn't know what to say. And isn't it that way so many times? We go before God, and even though we offer suggestions, we really don't know what we need God to do. I want to preach just a minute, if God will help us and trust us with His Scriptures on this thought. When God leaves unanswered questions, let's notice, first of all, in verse number 1, she's got a problem, amen. Job said, "Man born of woman's a few days and full of trouble." When you get in trouble, don't get to thinking you're the only one that's ever had it, honey. Everybody that's ever drawn air on God's earth has had trouble, amen. Oh, a lot of times the devil will try to isolate us and say, "You're the only one that's facing this. You're the only one that holds that narrow thinking pattern. You're the only one around that still believes the old way." But let me say, if he can isolate you, honey, he'll destroy you. Thank God, I'm glad I'm not the first one to come this way that's faced trouble. And there'll be some more come along behind us that'll face it again. That'll stand again. A lot of times we get that martyr attitude. We think if somebody says something sharp to us, that we become a martyr. God help us. That goes with the territory. We ought to raise our hands and thank God that He counted us worthy to face trouble. He trusted us enough. Ain't that what He said about Job? He trusted Job enough to let him face the things that he did. And I bless His name today. There's been a few times He's let me get in a valley and let me have a problem, amen, just to teach me He's still God, amen. Hallelujah. The creditor's coming's her problem. And let me say, that creditor's a picture of the devil. And he's on every one of our doorstep. I believe sometimes he's chained right outside of my doorstep. And he wants to destroy every mind that's in the house, every marriage in the building, every ministry in the house. The devil wants to tear it up and to do away with it. If you're doing anything for God, you're threatening to the devil, and he wants to tear you down. But honey, I got good news. You can pull your 44 on him. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Bless his good name tonight. I'm glad there's one down inside of me that's bigger than the devil, that's already whipped him at Calvary. I got up on the third day. And blows victorious. And we don't have to worry about the devil. He comes our way and roars. And we can pull Jesus on him. Amen. Word of God said He'd made us kings and priests. As a king, we have authority. We can tell the devil, "Get away from us." And when he don't pay us no attention, Brother Ken, as priest, we have access. We can go tell the Father on him. Thank God. You can walk around with your lip in the dirt if you want to, talking about how bad you got it. Honey, I'm thankful tonight. This way's not heaven. Oh, we can live in Canaan, but it ain't heaven. But one of these days, thank God, one of these days we're going to check out of here. There'll be no more devil. There'll be no more sin. I'm about to get blessed on my own preaching.
Whoa, thank God. We're leaving out of here one day and there'll be nothing he can do about it. Amen.
Great God in heaven. It taught me in that homilies class not to get blessed on your own preaching. I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I may sign my own Bible when I get on. Thank God there's coming a day. You look up here, we're going to check out of here. Why don't you just stick your tongue out the devil and tell him it ain't none of his business anyhow. We're checking out. We're going home. We're going to check out and get out of this mess one day. Bless his name. The devil, the Lord prayed for Jesus, prayed for Peter. Said, prayed for you. Devil desired to have you. And might sift you as wheat. When you converted, strengthen the brethren. Aren't you glad? Oh, our prayers sometimes are spontaneous prayers. They're prayers that are invoked by emotion or invoked by trouble. But I just can't hardly get it in my mind that any of that's taking place in heaven. And there's one sitting on the right hand of the Father that's making intercession for us. He's a praying for you and me. And thank God nothing ever slipped up on him. Nothing ever took him by surprise. He's a praying for what I'll face tomorrow. And I don't even know where tomorrow's going to take me. Oh, but he's already there. And he's a praying for us, and we're going to rise victorious and get out of our problem one day.
Everybody in the house, I'm sure, if we went row by row, other than maybe some newborn Christians or some children, could testify of problems that we faced. And if you're not real careful, the devil will isolate you in that problem. Tell you you're the only one facing that. Tell you everybody's going to hell but you and Jesus. And get you discouraged and you'll sit down and quit and not ever do anything for God again. If we had to go around the room, there's that one thing you could put your finger on where you've got questions that are unanswered. You don't know what to do. The problem has come. The problem has arisen. Look at number two. What happens there? We misread this verse oftentimes. Now there came a certain woman. That's not what this King James Bible said. That problem's going to bring some pain with it. Amen. Preached a pretty good introduction. I appreciate it. Hey, look there. Now there cried a certain woman. There's going to be some pain. She cried. She was overwhelmed. Oh, she didn't know what to do. She didn't know which way to turn. Oh, but aren't you glad Romans 8 said he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You ever got to that place in your life where you didn't know what to say? You didn't know how to pray. You just came before God and laid on the altar and wept and groaned in your spirit. I'm glad that's the language heaven understands. God understands the language of tears. Hey, you got a lost child. Tactics don't win souls. Tears do. You got something that's breaking your heart and you don't know what to do next. Honey, if you'll lay on the altar and beg God for help and weep before him, he'll bottle up those tears. And thank God one of these days it'll unleash the power of heaven and there's nothing the devil can do about it.
I'm seeing more and more people today that are just about in a place they want to quit than ever before. I mean, we're living in an unstable time. We might as well just be honest. The church is in uncharted waters. Oh, and I don't minimize any older man of God. I appreciate those older men of God. But they didn't face the things the churches are facing today.
Hell has unleashed a fury on the church today like never before. And it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. But I got good news for you. Hey, one of these days, a trumpet's going to blow and it's going to announce the end of the church's trouble. Hey, thank God. And we won't have to hurt anymore. Amen. Her problem, her pain. Verse 2, her perplexity. Well, she asked two questions. She only has the answer to one. But Ken, when I started out on this way, I had my two outlines, probably knew three verses of Scripture. And boy, I had to answer to any question anybody had. Y'all stay with me now, don't cut me off. And if you've been preaching long at all, you've been there too. Boy, I'd put that Bible under my arm. And, oh, somebody come by the door there, a church where I pastored, and said, oh, my dog died. Will I ever see it again? I said, there won't be no dogs in heaven. She said, how's Jesus going to come back riding on a horse, and how are we going to come on a horse with him? I said, there ain't going to be no animals in heaven. She said, there's a horse stable somewhere up there, and I went scratching my head. The further I've come up the way with God, the more I realize I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, it's come to the place where I got more questions than what I got answers. But thank God we don't have to have answers when we've got anchors that we can hold to. That'll secure our soul and hold us fast through the storm. Bless His name when He showed up there and the disciples were in the storm on board that ship. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, whatever storm has to have when it comes hurricane season, you watch the weather. Every storm has an eye right in the center of that storm. And that storm will fall apart without the eye. It'll not move without the eye moves it. It'll not stay together without the eye holds it together. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Thank God. I'm glad there's an eye in my storm that controls the storm. Whoa! He takes care of us through the storm. Amen. Oh, thank God. Weeping, the psalmist said, weeping may endure for the night. And there ain't no period right there. He said, but, I like that word but in the Bible. That's a divine conjunction. It recognizes everything that's been said up to that point. Then takes it and spins it 180 degrees and turns it around. Weeping may endure for the night. But, I thought I'd underline that in case you missed it. Joy comes in the morning. Thank God there is a morning. M-O-R-N-I-N-G. For our morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Thank God there is a morning for our morning. Amen. You might be in a place today where we say, God, where are you? You said you wouldn't put more on us than we could bear. And let me remind you, He said He wouldn't tempt us above that we could bear. He never said He'd not put more on us. He said He wouldn't. You Bible readers, help me. He said He wouldn't tempt us above that we was able to bear. But He didn't say He wouldn't load your wagon until the wheels went to wobbling. And there's been days. Hey, look up here. There's been days. I wondered if my wheels was going to fall off. I wondered what tomorrow held. And I didn't know which way to go, which way to turn. But thank God there is a morning for our morning. And the sun will break through again. And we'll be able to see again. Bless His good name tonight. You may be heartbroken tonight. But if you learn to look beyond the storm, it'll bring comfort. Amen. We scratch our heads and wonder, what do we do now? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. As long as you got that word, you're shining that light, you can take another step. You get to a place where the light goes out, you better stop. If you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Get to thinking, Lord, where are you? When are you going to show up? When are you going to help us? Brother Stennett Blue said, if there's got to be one of us that don't know where the other one is, I'd whole lot rather it be me that not know where God is than God not know where I am. There's never a day He doesn't know where I am. There's never a time He doesn't see me and take care of me. Oh, sure, it's been some dark days. There's been some weeks and months that I prayed and it was like the heavens were brass. And I was saying, God, where are you? All the while He's sitting in heaven looking down saying, I know right where you are. You might not confine me, but thank God I know where you are. Amen. Verses 3 through 5, let's notice her plan. Isn't it amazing that she went to the man of God? Let me help you right here. It's all right to go to the man of God when everything hadn't fell apart. Oh, so many times we say, oh, that preacher just meddling. All he talks about is money and what I'm doing wrong, what my young's doing wrong. Oh, but you let trouble come. You let Johnny or Sissy leave the house and don't know where to find them. Who's the first to, you'll burn the phone up. Oh, Brother Ken, you ain't never going to believe this. It's good every now and then to call the man of God with good news. Hey, thank God, include the man of God when it's everything's good and not just when everything's bad. Hey, she went to the man of God. Let's look at her plan. She went to the man of God. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, I have nothing in the house. And then almost as an afterthought, she said, save a pot of oil. Oh, isn't it amazing? That oil in the Scripture is a type of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it amazing when we get in that place where the devil's trying to get to where we are and trying to destroy us, that we'll forget about down deep inside of us, there is a pot of oil. Oh, Christian, let me remind you of something. You may be broke. You may be busted. You may be destitute. But when you was born again, God, the Holy Ghost, took up residence. I'm feeling about like preaching. He took up residence in your heart. Somebody just look down and wave at God and tell Him good evening. Thank God if you've been born again, you've got a down payment of heaven placed inside your soul. And you may not have another thing, but you got God. Amen. The man of God said, go. All of us have trouble right there. Didn't God tell Moses to go and he say no? Oh, I can't. I just stutter too bad. I'm not smart like him other boys. Let me let you in on a little secret. If God says go, you don't worry about the means. You don't worry about the method. You don't worry about the motive. If God said go, just go. Go borrow thee vessels abroad. Borrow not a few. So when you get them home, you go in the house and you shut the door. And you pour out of that bottle of oil into those vessels. Somebody said the greatest miracle of this text is the fact that she was able to take the stopper out of that bottle and pour it out. I don't believe it. You think about it. She's got this vessel in her hand. She's got this vessel in her hand. All she's doing is transferring. You want to know what I feel like is the biggest miracle in this text? She got the boys gathered up. She got there in the house. Verse number 1 said, the creditor is come. That's present tense. He's there. She goes in the house, and that sound that she dreads to hear, that door closes. You know what she's saying by closing that door? She's saying, God, I know the creditor is just on the other side of my door. And I can't keep my eye on him when I'm in here with my door shut. And here's my boys in here. God, they're coming to get my boys. There's going to be no more T-ball. There's going to be no more deer stands. There's going to be no more Bible school commencement. They're coming to get my boys. But God, I trust you enough that if you'll take care of what's outside the door, I'll do what you told me to do inside the door. And she shut the door. Happy day in my life when I realized I didn't have to keep my eye on the devil. I bet the Lord of heaven, he could take care of him if I was willing to get in my closet and shut the door and let God do what he can do. Go borrow vessels. Not a few. Empty vessels. A lot of us are thinking, I ain't nothing but an empty vessel. But you got a pot of oil. If you've been saved, you got a pot of oil. And all you got to do is pour it out.
Yeah.
I can see her. I can see her. Not only the plan, but God's provision. Last point, God's provision. I can see her take that bottle and hold it up. Say, I'm trusting you, Lord. Blah, 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 blah. Pour it out. Hold it up. Say, well, fill that up, boys. Bring me another. She gets her bottle real carefully, not to spill a single drop, no doubt. Real easy. Pours out a few drops and looks, and a few more. Gets that second vessel full, and she holds her up. You know, I think that's about got as much in as it had when I started. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to put my thumb right where that line of that oil is. I'm going to get it this time. She says, boys, bring me another. She pours it out in that next vessel and gets it good and full and holds it up, and it's right where her thumb is. And by this time, she's thinking, great God, somebody bigger than me's in the room. Thank God I got the hold of the little end of something mighty big. It'd do us good if we'd realize, honey, we got a hold of the little end of something that's bigger than we are. Hey, somebody come along. Little boy was flying a kite one day, and he looked up and he said, I don't see a kite. How do you know you're flying that kite? He said, cause every now and then there's a tug on this line. Thank God every now and then when I get in that place, I don't know what to do. There's a tug on the line that comes from heaven's world. Amen. Bring me another vessel. And she, by this time, she in Harrison, I don't know how you say it in Bowden, but in Harrison County, we'd say she turned it bottom upwards. Bring me another. By the time she gets done, son, there's oil all over her. There's oil all running down, dripping off her elbows. Every vessel's oily. Every piece of clothes she got on's oily. Thank God, all because she is willing to pour her oil out and just trust God with the lives of her boys. Give me a couple of boys up here. Come here, a couple of you boys, come help me. I need some help. Oh, she took them vessels. Come on, Brother Josh, somebody, Brother Matthew and Brother Josh, y'all come on, somebody won't volunteer, I'll volunteer you, amen. Hey, took those vessels, and now she's got them all full. She goes to the man of God. He said, now you take them down there. That Bible don't say it, but it has to be so. Take them to the market, amen. That's a place where people's gathered, and they're going to buy goods. Oh, you go down there to the market, and you take them vessels, and you sell that all. Come here, boys, we got a few vessels. They all be careful, don't drop the vessels, and don't bend up the vessels, amen. Somebody might take it out of you. How do you hide if you've been up the vessels now? Oh, my, she's got vessels. Aren't you hold one that hand. You all lock arms so you don't get separated from one another. We're going to the market. Be real careful now. We got to sell an honest vessel of oil. And we're going to go down the market. And I'm just about to see her, Brother Ken, as they get started on the journey. And she gets to thinking about that fourth or fifth vessel. They went to pouring it out, and God did something for them. Bless his good
came. Thank God when God did something for them and multiplied that oil. And about the last leg of the journey, I can see them there headed out, running hard as they can go. You see what's happening? Them vessels are bouncing. Oils are flying everywhere. It's getting on her, boys. Thank God, Mom and Daddy, if you'll pour the oil out, God will let it get on you youngest, and He'll take care of them. Amen.
I see them. I get down there to the... No, excuse me a minute.
Woo!
Thank God. I see them. I get down there to the, where the market is. Somebody says, how much for that vessel of oil? I said, oh, wait just a minute. I'll be glad to sell you a pot of oil. I'll be glad to, but first, you gotta let me tell you where it came from, how I got it. Oh, thank God, if you'll just obey the Word of God. The prophet was the Word of God in this day. If you'll obey the Word of God, line up with the man of God as he gives you the Word from the Word of God, and just trust God, shut the door, and do what he said. Honey, not only will it get on the boys, and God do something for them, it'll be a day you'll be down to market, and somebody will say, let me have a pot of that oil. And you'll say, I'll be glad to, right after I tell you where it came from. Thank God it met her need, and in turn it met the needs and spread the Word of God to them that was at the market. Amen. Come by this way tonight to tell you, God ain't broke. Heaven ain't bankrupt. And you might be wondering what tomorrow's going to hold. But God will see you through. David said, I never saw the righteous forsaken or seed bagging bread. Old Ruth was a foreigner. And the master of the field took notice of her. Dropped some handfuls in her row. Oh, thank God. I'm glad to report to you tonight that this Word of God has everything that we need. We get in that valley. Great God. Get in that valley and go scratching our head wondering, what I do now? Let me remind you, if the Word of God can't do it, it can't be done. When God leaves unanswered questions, we've got questions with no answers. I was going taking the youngest to school back before Christmas. Brother Ken, there's this old country road we go down. They've done some logging. And I was coming down that road just before 7 o'clock. The prettiest sunrise you ever seen. They had cleared off all the trees on this hill where I was, and there's a valley between. And then over on that far mountainside, Brother Joey, there was some trees. That sun was coming up behind the tops of them big oaks and them big poplar trees and them big hickory trees. You could see it. Those limbs seemed like they were intertwined, and that sun was coming up behind it. Brother Ken, I got my telephone out, trying my best to get the camera open so I could take a picture of it. By the time I got it open, I'd gone off the hill, down in a low spot. All I could see down there was old chop land. Stumps had been grubbed up. Brush had been left behind. Big old mud holes. Sure wasn't nothing I wanted a picture of. I couldn't see that sunrise anymore because of all that underbrush. God the Holy Ghost spoke to me. God, oh, thank God. He spoke to my heart. And said, just because you can't see the sunrise anymore doesn't mean it's not there. Just because you can't see the sun
shining behind those trees anymore from your current perspective does not mean that it's not there. Child of God, let me say tonight, you may be in a place where you can't see the sun shining. You may be in a deep, dark valley and you can't see the sun anymore. But thank God, Jesus came and overcame that ultimate valley. You know what a valley is? It's nothing but a grave with the ends kicked out of it. Thank God Jesus came and kicked the ends out of your what would be grave and let it be a valley. And if you'll just keep a plugging along, I'll keep you out of the sky. Thank God one of these days redemption's going to draw nigh. Hallelujah. And we'll head up out of this valley and see the sun shine again.
And God leaves unanswered questions. You probably heard Brother Dean tell the story about the man in his church when he pastored in Florida. Said he's in the darkest place he'd ever been. Said he read a story about a kid that, or a young man, when he was a kid, he'd go to grandma's house. Said, grandma was a quilter. And I was too little to play outside with the bigger boys. And she'd put me under that quilt frame. Said I could trace where grandma was because I could see from about the knee down. But I couldn't see her face. He said, I got old enough to look up. And there wasn't nothing there but patches that seemed like they didn't match. Things that seemed like it didn't go together. Strings hanging down. Knots tied everywhere. Looked like everything on the bottom side of that quilt was coming unraveled. He said, but I grew up and I got older. And I went back to grandma's one day. And now I didn't just have to look at her feet. I could see her face. He said, she said, come on, son. You played under this quilt long enough. I want you to see the finished product. Said she spread that quilt out there on the bed. There wasn't any loose strings anymore. There wasn't any knots hanging anymore. What on the underside seemed like it just didn't mesh together quite right, on the top side was a masterpiece. Child of God, I come this way tonight to tell you, one of these days we'll see this thing from the top side. And it won't look like life's coming unraveled then. It won't look like God's putting things together that don't match. We won't have to trace Him by where we've seen Him walk. We can look Him eyeball to eyeball and from His perspective see the finished product. And let me remind you, He's doing all things well. You got questions that don't have answers. I felt God pretty close by here. It'd be a good time to let Him help you. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. I pray tonight You'd help Your people. Lord, no doubt folks get in a place where we want to throw up our hands and quit and say, is there any use? And we ask questions and it seems like You just turn them back on us and give us more questions. But I'm glad that close behind Your attribute of holiness is Your attribute of faithfulness. Lord, would You show us Your faithfulness tonight? Those that are hurting, I pray You'd help them. Lord, those that's nearest quitting, I pray You'd slip up by them and put Your arms around them. Whisper in their ears, everything's going to be all right. Lord, somebody just needs to pour their oil out. I pray You'd help us tonight that we'd do that. Give this under shepherd wisdom as He gives this invitation. Help us now, Lord, I beg. We'll be sure to give You the glory. In Jesus' name. We're standing with heads bowed.